This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Let's do this late of a Friday, shall we? Take a step back from all the economic hue and cry and talk about toothpaste, or at least one specific ingredient in a whole lot of toothpastes, mint. Grant Coho from Cambridge, Massachusetts, provided the question for today's installment of our Every Now and Then series, I've Always Wondered.
I've always wondered why it is that mint is so ubiquitous in toothpaste, mouthwash, and the like. Where does mint come from, and what are the economics? You know, is there a massive conspiracy of mint growers in the country?
Well, let's see. A common ingredient in an everyday consumer product. Economics, a mint conspiracy? Oh, yeah, we're in. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Here's a 1950s ad jingle to start us off.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent. The taste is new, so fresh and clean.
Pepsodent was once the leading toothpaste on the planet, a brand instrumental in creating
a national toothbrushing habit that basically didn't even exist before Claude Hopkins came along.
Charles Duhigg is author of The Power of Habit, and he's talking about the early 20th century ad man, Claude Hopkins. Duhigg says, in the early 1900s, a guy comes to Hopkins to promote this new toothpaste, at a time when hardly anybody brushes. So Hopkins blankets the country with ads warning that a dingy film is covering people's teeth. Brush with Pepsodent, they can have pretty teeth and a movie star smile.
Within 5 years, something like 60% of American households had Pepsodent in their bathrooms.
And one big reason, the inventor of Pepsodent,
he had decided to add a little bit of mint extract. Mint extract, as well as a couple of other ingredients that he added, they're irritants. They cause our tongues and our gum to tingle.
And that tingling
sort of told them that the toothpaste was working, even though it had nothing to do with how the toothpaste actually worked. And people began to equate that tingling feeling with good dental hygiene. And as a result, they began to crave it.
And we still do. It's our main mental association with having a clean mouth and having brushed. Catalina Lee, Worldwide Flavors Director at Colgate-Palmolive, explains how mint's active ingredient, menthol, works.
This menthol is capable to send to the brain a sensation that you have like ice in your mouth without having it. So it's like it tricks your brain.
Colgate-Palmolive is the number one buyer of American mint oil, and Washington State is the biggest producer nationwide. Keen Christensen heads the state's mint commission. His family's farm in Othello, Washington, is about 200 miles east of Seattle. 1,000 acres, not even a big farm by local standards. Fragrant, irrigated green fields spread in every direction, mostly spearmint that'll be ready in late summer.
Harvest it, let it dry, chop it into these wagons that you can haul down the road.
To the barn, where giant metal stills extract the oil.
We hook up a steam line on the bottom, and so inside of here we'll have our mint oil and drain off the water, and then we pump it directly into barrels.
More than 155-gallon barrels, destined for customers like Colgate, Crest, Wrigley's, Cadbury. And what about mint's near-total dominance as a dental flavoring? Colgate's Catalina Lee says it's just consumer preference. There are a few alternatives, like cinnamon and baking soda. Lee says kids like strawberry and other fruit flavors. And mint isn't the number one choice everywhere.
India, they like spices, fennel, amla, neem, or clove. And also in China, they like tea flavors, floral, jasmine is very well liked.
But in the U.S., she says, consumers keep voting with their mouths for the mint. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This whole series doesn't work without you, right? So let us know what you have always wondered. There's a place you can do that at marketplace.org.